Amen. Just remain standing if you will. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. And also 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm going to read several texts to get my text this morning. And then I'll give you my title and preach from it. Luke chapter number 9 is where we will begin. And then if you'll hold your place there in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Luke chapter 9 and 2 Timothy chapter 1. Amen. Appreciate Brother Steve leading the singing and helping us with that. Amen. I didn't give him a heads up on it. And appreciate him being prepared and helping us with that. Amen. Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 1 is where I'm going to take my text to begin with. And we'll read down a few verses and then go to chapter 10. Read a few verses and then go to 2 Timothy. All right. Luke chapter 9 verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases." By the way, I thought of something right there earlier as I was studying, thinking on this message. I've heard it said many times and I've believed it, that as there were devils more prominent when Jesus came the first time, there'll be devils more prominent when Jesus comes the second time. I believe that's true. I believe we'll see that and are seeing it, matter of fact. But also as disease seemed to have been more prominent when our Lord was here, we can see disease definitely has an uptick in the day we're living in. And I don't know if devils and disease go together. I do know there's a number of times when he'd cure them of the devil, their disease would be healed. Number of times. And so perhaps there is a connection there. But as they increase, we see the devils are increased. I believe diseases are increased. Verse number 2. "And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip nor bread, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. They departed and went through the towns everywhere, through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Amen. Look over at chapter 10, verse 1. Thank you. Chapter 10, verse 1. "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also." So he just sent 12 out. Now he's sending other 70 also. "And sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come." Now jump down to verse number 16. "He that heareth you heareth me." Now he's talking to these men that he sent out two by two. "He that heareth you heareth me. And he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned to him unto his disciples and said privately, look at this, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll go ahead and give you my title. You'll understand it. It goes with those verses I just read. I want to preach today thinking about Thanksgiving. I want to preach on I'm glad that I've heard what I've heard. Amen. I'm glad, I guess I'd say for the preaching, that I've heard. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 2 verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Look at chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes.
How wonderful it is to come to your house and be able to worship and sing the songs of Zion and see the Lord your wonderful name. Thank you for Sunday school hour this morning. I pray you bless the preachers that preach us to us.
Help us, Lord, yes.
Sin, Lord, dwelling within us. I ask you to bless the sick and help comfort those today that are grieving.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
These family needs to withstand the attacks of the devil. We thank you, Lord, for the soul that is saved. Precious lives you saved in Jesus'
name. Amen. 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 Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. I say I want to preach on the thought, I want to give thanks for the things that I've heard. We just celebrated our national holiday that we call Thanksgiving. And with that on my mind, as I, in my daily Bible reading in the book of Luke, chapter 9 and then chapter 10, that stood out to me specifically, that part there in verse number 24, where Jesus said, "For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." I thought about that. He said, he didn't just say many people. He said many prophets. That's people probably closer to the Lord than we are. Right? Closer to the Lord than the average man. A prophet. And he said, but they didn't hear what you've heard. Then he said, not just prophets, he said kings. That's people much better off, I'd say financially, than we are. More than the common man. And yet he said, the kings haven't heard what you've heard. He said, you're blessed. That's what blessed are ye. You're blessed that you've got to hear these things. Amen. And so I got to thinking about the things that I've heard and thinking about some of the blessings that have come to me because of the things that I've heard. Now I'll say this, it doesn't do any good just to hear it. You got to hear it and heed it. Amen. And we say that over and over again. The Lord says, he said it was a wise man that heard and heeded and built his house on the rock. But it was a foolish man that all he did was hear. He didn't heed. He built his house on the sand. And so there's a big difference in that. But let me just give you a brief reminder of what these verses, because I read quite a few. I said in Luke chapter number 9, we have in those first six verses, our Lord sending out those 12 disciples to preach and to heal. He gave them the gospel to preach to the gospel of the kingdom. And he told them to go all into the house of Israel. And he gave them power to heal and do all kinds of miracles. And he sent them out. And so then in chapter number 10, he does the same thing again. Only this time, instead of 12, he sends other 70. It looks to me like, I don't know if those 12 were in the 70, but it looks like an additional 70 that he sent out at another time, two by two. And he gave them much the same instructions, telling them about what not to take and how to let them take care of them and how that they're to pray peace in that city or peace in that house. And then if they don't receive them, then to dust the dust off their feet and go on their way. And so he goes on in this, in the context of this. I just read verse 1, but in the context of this, Jesus goes on to not only to instruct his disciples, but to denounce those cities that had heard such preaching and had seen such miracles and had not responded to it. He denounced them for their lack of response to the gospel message and the miracles that had been performed in their presence. And he lays the groundwork, I believe, for the doctrine, for the doctrine about the importance of heeding the preaching and the teaching that you receive. Amen. Preaching in the city. I'm glad Madisonville's got a good church. There's a lot of cities that don't. Amen. But it's not good enough just for Madisonville to have a good church. They need to be in it. They need to participate in it. And they need to receive something from it. Amen. Amen. Need to heed what's being said and done there. And I'm not saying that we're the only one, but I'm glad that we're one. Amen. And I'm glad that we're a part of that. Amen. And if we are the only, or were the only one, I'd want us to keep standing till Jesus comes. Amen. Amen. I got a thought. I told my wife, I'm going to preach this one of these days over there. And Ben gave me a CD of his pastor preaching last Sunday, and that's what gave me the thought. But in that message, he mentioned this, and it just rang to me, and I worked out a thought on it, where that Samuel came to anoint a king out of Jesse's house. You remember that? And he went by Eliab, and he went by all those sons, and God said, that's not him, that's not him, that's not him. And finally he said, don't you have another son? And Jesse said, well, I've got David, a little scrawny David. He's out there tending the sheep. And Samuel said, we're not going to sit down till he comes. He said, you go and fetch him. We're not going to sit down till he comes. And this was the thought that I got from that. I want to be standing till the king comes. Amen. I want to still be standing when the king gets here. Amen. And that's what that they did in that. But in this text, our Lord sent them out and he laid this doctrine about the importance of heeding the preaching that you've heard. Amen. And then, as he moves along here, he gets down to verse number 23 and 24. And he says that they are blessed for what they have seen. And they are blessed for what they have heard. And that there's a lot of people that have longed to see and hear the things that they have and never got to accomplish that. And then finally I want to point to those texts there in 2 Timothy. The aged apostle Paul, coming to the end of his journey in life, he has given instruction to young Timothy about the truth and about the things that he has heard. And he tells him the importance of hearing and obeying the truth. He says in chapter number 1, Timothy, you need to hold fast to those things that you've heard. Amen. He says in chapter number 2, he tells him you're to commit those things that you've heard to others. In other words, you hang on to it and you pass it on to somebody else. And then in chapter number 3, he said, continue in those things which thou hast heard and or which thou hast learned and been assured of. Amen. And so again, he said, Timothy, hang on to it for yourself, pass it on to others, but stay with the truth. Continue in those teachings. Amen. Now, having laid that foundation, I want to preach a topical message. I don't preach many topical messages, but this is one. And I want to preach on that thought. And notice our text and the wording. And I would say, I want to give thanks for the things that I've heard. Amen. I've got 5 things that I want to give thanks that I've heard that's been a blessing to me. First of all, I'm glad I heard about Jesus coming to die for my sin. Amen. Paul said to Timothy in chapter number 3, 2 Timothy 3:15 we read, he said, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through Christ Jesus. Amen. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm glad I heard about Jesus. Amen. I'm glad that I heard the truth about Jesus coming to die for my sins. Matter of fact, from my earliest memories, far back as I can remember, I've been raised in church, taught the truth of God in churches, amen, in Sunday school, in the auditorium, amen, in the preaching time, in vacation Bible school, and even from my parents, amen. And I'll just plug this while I'm here. I believe the strongest influence of all is that influence of the parents. Amen. The preacher can preach to you, and he should, and the teacher can teach and pray over you, and they should. But they can't have the influence that parents have. Lord, help us as parents, amen, to wield that influence with our children, amen, and perhaps even our grandchildren as we have opportunity to do so. We have examples all in the Bible. We've got Moses and his mother, Jochebed, and how that Moses learned things at the knees of Jochebed that Egypt couldn't get out of him, amen. He saw that all the riches of Egypt and all the pleasures of sin were only for a season, and he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, amen, than to enjoy those pleasures of sin for that season. And so Moses learned some things from his mother, and then we got Samuel learning things from his mother, Hannah, that Eli's wicked house couldn't get out of him, and Israel in its bad shape didn't get out of him, amen. And so he grew up to serve God, and I could go on in the scriptures as we've got opportunities to do that. I know I've heard of men say, well, preacher, I can't do anything. I'm not a preacher. Or a woman say, I can't do anything. I'm just a mother. Listen, as a father or a mother, you have great opportunity with those children to instill the good things of God in those children. Amen. More than likely, the preacher won't teach them, Jesus loves me, this I know. The Sunday school teacher may, but it's even better if mom and daddy do. Amen. Amen. I'm glad my mom and dad took me to Sunday school. I'm glad they put me in the preaching service, every preaching service we had, whether it's Sunday morning or Sunday night, Wednesday night or revival meeting. Amen. We was in church every time the doors were open, as far as I know. Amen. They put us there. They made me sit still and listen. Wasn't enough that I was in the building. Amen. I had to sit still and listen. Pay attention to what was being said, what was being taught. Amen. They taught me to respect the teacher and the preacher. Amen. They taught me to respect them. And then they lived at home what was being taught. They didn't say, well, now the preacher's wrong right there. That's just his opinion. Amen. No, they told me and instructed me that what was being taught by our church was right and that I could live by that. It was true. And by the way, that it was important what was being said. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad I heard about Jesus coming to die for my sins. I'm glad I heard the preacher say that I was not good enough to go to heaven on my own. Amen. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and 12 tell us there's none good. No, not one. Amen. None of us righteous enough to go to heaven on our own. Amen. Well, you're just a good little boy. You ain't never done nothing wrong. Friend, I'm telling you, and that's, by the way, I say that facetiously, because that's how some people say, parents or grandparents say that to the children. Oh, you're just a good little boy. You ain't never done nothing wrong. You don't know the wickedness that's in the heart of a little child. Brother Steve talked about covetous this morning. Every little baby I've ever seen is covetous. Amen. Amen. Every one of them. I see it. My grandchildren will get together, and the one toy that one of them's playing with is the very one all the rest of them want to be playing with. Amen. Amen. Covetousness bound in that heart, and rebellion bound in that heart, and wickedness bound in that heart of the child. I'm glad the preacher told me that I was not good enough to go to heaven on my own. Amen. I'm glad that I was told that I must repent and believe the gospel in order to be saved. Amen. Matter of fact, that's what our Lord said in Mark chapter number 1, verse 15. He said, preach, repent, and believe the gospel. Amen. And that's what you got to do in order to be saved. I'm glad I was taught that salvation makes people a new creature in Christ Jesus. That all things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new when a person gets saved by the grace of God. Amen. A drunkard is no longer a drunkard when he gets saved by the grace of God. Amen. I know AA says you'll always be a drunkard. No, you won't. Not if you get saved by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. I've probably told this before, but I remember several years ago, a young man came to Vision, and he said he got saved, and we baptized him, and he worked with me a little while, and we tried to help him. And I remember that one year at Christmas, and I don't remember now exactly his age, but he said that was the first Christmas since he was 14 years old that he'd been sober. 14. He said he couldn't remember a time when his mama didn't drink a six-pack of beer every day before he went to school. That's sad. Children raised in that kind of environment. But he went to AA, and AA told him, and he had, of course, he's got in trouble with the law, and law forced him to go through that, and they said, you'll always be an alcoholic. He said, but I got saved. We met a man over in Mount Airy, and this is what he said. He said when he went in there, then he told him, he said, I don't have the desire for liquor anymore. He said, oh, you better be careful. You're on the verge of relapse because you're in denial. Yeah. Well, you can live in that denial for years and years and years if you'll serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. But here's what that man said. He went to his preacher, and he said, is it true that once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic? And he said, well, that woman that had an issue of blood might have always had an issue of blood if she hadn't touched the garment of the Lord Jesus. But when she touched the hem of his garment, she no longer had an issue of blood. Amen. And when a drunkard touches the hem of his garment, they're no longer a drunkard. Amen. And I could go through a lot of sins. Amen. That God delivers people from when they get saved by the good grace of God. Amen. I'm glad I was taught salvation makes us a new creature. It's not just their character. It's not just the way they are. God changes them, amen, from the way they are. I'm glad that I was taught that faith is without works, or faith, if it is without works, is dead, being alone. Amen, that's what James said, James chapter 2. I believe it's verse 12, but James chapter 2, he said faith without works is dead, being alone. Faith produces works, not that works saves you. Matter of fact, I'm also glad that I was taught that grace, salvation is by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. It's not how many times you go to church, how many times you've prayed the rosary, how much you've confessed your sin to the priest, or what all you've, the good things you've done, the Sunday school pens you've got, or whatever, all that's not what makes you saved. It is salvation is by grace through faith. Amen. Not of works. Even though that grace that brings the faith produces good works. Amen. And that's what he said in verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter 2. You know that. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. I'm glad I heard about Jesus coming to die for my sin. I'm glad that when I heard that, I also heard this. The preacher said that today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off for another day. Don't wait for a better opportunity. Call on the Lord today. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. I'm glad I heard that from the pulpit. Amen. Amen. And from the Sunday school class. And from my parents. I'm glad I heard about Jesus. Amen. Number two, I'm glad I was told that the King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we read verse 14 and 15. Verse 16 and 17 say this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Amen. Paul has said about Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Well, the Bible that they used in the church I grew up in was the King James Bible, and I'm glad it was. Amen. Amen. Now, it's possible that they might have changed, and if they had changed, I hope that my parents would have got me out of that. Amen. Would have moved on somewhere else. Because when people go to changing Bibles, that is a dangerous, dangerous thing to do. Amen. Amen. Time to get out. You say, well, my grandparents are buried back there. Dig Grandma and Grandpa up if you have to. Get out of there. I believe that. Amen. I'm glad I was told the King James Bible, amen, is the Word of God. But I've done a good bit of reading and studying myself over the years, but I'm glad I was taught as a child to trust that Bible. Amen. I'm glad I was taught those things, to trust that Bible, and to distrust any modern version. Amen. I was taught that. Amen. Amen. Well, I was taught that the King James Bible is the inspired, infallible, indestructible, inerrant, preserved Word of God. Amen. I was taught that. I was taught that I didn't need to doubt it. I was taught that I didn't need to correct it. And I put that in quote marks. Amen. Because it doesn't need correcting. Amen. I was taught that I better not dismiss it. But I was taught that I ought to obey it. Amen. I better believe it and I better live it. I'm glad I was taught those things. Amen. I'm glad, number three, I'm glad that the preacher told me, this is moving on in a different direction, but I'm glad the preacher told me that the woman's place is in the home raising the children. I'm glad I heard that. Amen. When Melissa and I first got married, she worked a public job. Of course, we didn't have children when we first got married. We were praying that that come along, and they did come along. But she was working that job in the textile mill. And I remember the day, I couldn't tell you the date, but I remember the time when my dad came to me and told me that he had become convinced that the Bible taught that the woman wasn't supposed to work out in the workforce, but she was supposed to stay at home and raise the children. Amen. You know I grabbed his hand with both my hands and said, thank you, Daddy, thank you for telling me that. No, I didn't. Because that wasn't the way I was raised. My mama worked on the workforce. That's how I was raised. We didn't know better. But Dad said that was the conclusion he had come to, and he got Mom off the workforce, even though the children were grown. Amen. And I remember then the revival that broke out in Mount Airy, and the Brother Sammy Allen's preaching went 9 weeks. We got involved in it somewhere there, probably the, I don't know, second, third, fourth week, somewhere in there, and we went every service then after that except for our prayer meeting time. And I remember Brother Sammy getting me and my wife up, standing us up and preaching to us out of Ephesians chapter 5 and 6. Probably about 400 people there in that auditorium. He's preaching away and standing us up in front of that whole crowd and preaching to us. And he preached right down those same lines that my dad had told me just a little while before that. That, amen. That was the right way to go. And I believe it is the right way to go. Amen. He lined us out about the importance of having the mother in the home to teach and train the children, to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I say this, I didn't know how we'd make it then. I didn't know. And I know we're living in a day when our society is geared towards a two-income home. I guess that's the only way I know to say it, a two-income home. Amen. I remember, though, thinking about, I don't know how we're going to make it, and I don't know what we're going to do, but it is the Word of God, and we're just going to obey it. That was the point we made, and we made the decision, Melissa and I, together, amen, that was God's Word, that was God's will, and we'd just go with that and trust God with the rest of it. And can I say to you standing here today, I'm glad we did. Amen. Amen. My children are not perfect. They're all grown now. They're all married now. Y'all know Joshua. You know they ain't none of them perfect. Amen. None of my children are perfect, but I hate to think where they'd be if my wife hadn't been there to teach them and train them. Amen. Instruct them. Amen. Dad has a place. I'm not saying put it all on her and leave everything to her. I understand Dad has a part and has a place in that, but Mama, there's nobody can do the job Mama can do. Amen. Nobody can. Amen. And I was taught that the children were given to us. They weren't given to the grandparents to raise. They were given to us to raise. Amen. Amen. But my wife probably, I'm guessing, had to give up some and sacrifice some material things. We could have had more. We could have had bigger and better, perhaps, on material things. But I'd a whole lot rather have my children in church today. Amen. And my children serving God. Amen. I know our society's built around a two-party working system nowadays. Amen. It might be impossible to have the nicest car, the biggest house, the newest gadgets, and the latest fashions. Probably is impossible to have all that without a two-income system. Amen. But I'd rather have my children being raised by Mom at home. I'd rather drive a beat-up jalopy. Amen. That's French for Chevrolet. No, I'm kidding. Chevrolet's a French word. You know that. Anyway, I'd rather drive a beat up jalopy, live in a shack, and wear hand-me-downs the rest of my life if I had to. And have my children in church and have my children know something about God, amen, than having them in a godless school system that's going to warp their mind, amen, and pervert putting their hands on them every few days, amen. I get riled up on that if I ain't careful, amen. Amen. I know it costs. It costs to live the Bible way. But it pays too. It pays, amen. It pays. Well, I'm glad I heard it, and I'm glad I heeded it. Amen. Amen. Number four. I'm moving on along here. Number four. I'm glad I heard preaching about modesty. Amen. We was in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 9. The Bible says this, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And that, by the way, goes for both men and women. That's why I said in like manner, men ought to live godly and women ought to live godly. Men ought to be modest and women ought to be modest. Amen. Amen. They're selling some clothes at the department stores now that wouldn't make a moth a good meal. They'd starve to death if that's all they had. Amen. Amen. By the way, I talk about our society, and I know we're living in a two-party working society. That's the way it is. But our society today, people dress ungodly. They dress immodestly. Matter of fact, here's one thing. I don't understand this, and maybe this is more pet peeve, but they dress so sloppily. You go to a store somewhere and see people in their pajamas. They might as well carry a sign that said, I just got out of bed and was too lazy to put my clothes on. But come on down here to the store just to show off how lazy I am. I don't understand that. I don't. Now, I'll say this. I don't believe that every man has to wear a suit and a tie when he goes to church. Although I ain't against that either, but I do believe we ought to dress up and look respectable when we go to the house of God. Amen. I really believe we ought to look respectable when we go anywhere. Amen. But especially the house of God. Amen. Well, there used to be a day when people dressed up to go to church. They don't now. They go casually. You know why? Because it don't mean anything. It's not important like it used to be. It's not special. I remember as a boy, Mom would say to us, by the way, our school clothes, them's your school clothes, and you better not mess them up. But your Sunday go to meeting clothes, I don't know why that all went together, Sunday go to meeting, because we wore Sunday go to meeting clothes on Wednesday. To go to meeting. But your Sunday go to meeting clothes, boy, you better not get out and run around the yard and get your knee all grass stained up in those Sunday go to meeting clothes. Amen. You know why? They want us to look our best. You say, well, was that for everybody else? Maybe there might have been a tinge of that in there. I don't know. But how about to show honor to God? Amen. If the president was to come by, the president that's in there now or any former president, even those that we may not have voted for or would ever vote for, if we knew they was going to be in our company, you know what we do? We dress up just to show respect. Amen. We would. Well, I'm glad I heard preaching about modesty. Let me get back to that. I was taught that boys, men and boys, don't wear shorts and show off their legs. That's what I was taught. I was taught they wear long pants and look appropriate. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I heard the preaching about the difference in male clothing and feminine attire. Amen. By the way, that's just like the teaching about the woman's place in the home. And I know just that phrase, the woman's place. That's said, that's derogatory. No, that's not derogatory. Not at all. Amen. Oh, I get off on a bunch of rabbits if I ain't real careful. Lord, hit me. That's This thing about the difference in male attire and feminine attire is just like that teaching about the woman's place in the home. It goes against the grain of our society, and it was not the way I was raised. I mentioned that my mom worked out on the job, and I'm not saying this slamming her, but when she did, she wore pants. Amen. Matter of fact, that's one place I came to the conclusion of it before my dad did. And so when I told him, he didn't grab me by both hands and say, thank you, son. Thank you for telling me that too. Amen. But I did find it in the Bible. And I heard it in the preaching. Amen. And I got to think about this week. You know, Brother Hall, I was thinking about you and how the age is starting to affect you more now than it has in the past. And I was thinking about men like Brother Hall that used to blaze it and preach it about the dress standard and its importance. Amen. Those men are moving off the scene. They're getting fewer and far between. And some men that used to preach it ain't living it today. They've changed their whole idea and outlook on things. Amen. And I'm not necessarily saying, Lord, help me be the one to stand up, but somebody needs to stand up and say it was right then and it's still right today. And somebody needs to tell it again. Amen. I am glad I heard about it when I was a... Amen. That I heard about it and God helped me with that, and God helped us with our family and raised them in that way. Amen. That there's a difference. And I also got to think about this. Why is it we're told today if a man wants to wear a dress and look like a woman, he has every right to do so, and you ain't allowed to snicker or laugh or say anything about it. You got to be tolerant of that. But if a woman wants to look like a woman and wear a dress, you mock her and you run her down and you call her a holy roller and everything else. Something wrong with that somewhere. Amen. I'm glad I heard. I'm glad I heard about Jesus coming to save me. Amen. I'm glad I heard the King James Bible was the Word of God. Amen. Is the Word of God. I'm glad I heard about that mama needs to stay home and raise the children. I'm glad I heard about the difference in people's attire and the modesty. By the way, it is a modesty issue. Amen. Amen. That even sometimes even a dress can be immodest. Amen. Amen. I said we were living today when people dress like slobs. We're also living today when people dress like harlots. Ought not be so. Amen. I wrote it this way. I said they paint, poof, pump, prance, push up, and parade their wares like a prostitute does. Ought not be so. Ought not be so. Amen. You say, preacher, are you saying that all that do that are, no, I don't want to give somebody the wrong opinion. Amen. I don't want to give somebody the wrong opinion about the way that we dress and the way we do. I thought about this earlier in the week. About clothing. Clothing does a lot of things. Clothing covers us. That's what God originally made clothing for, was to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve. It covers us. Amen. But clothing also characterizes us. If you see a man, matter of fact, when Brother Jim comes in with his uniform on, you think he's a police officer. Why? Because he's dressed like a police officer. Amen. When Brother Rick would come in his military outfit, you thought he was a military man. You know why? Because he was dressed like a military man. Amen. Amen. If we're a holy man and a holy woman, that's how we ought to be dressed, like a holy man and a holy woman. Amen. Amen. Not like the world. Amen. Not like a slob. Amen. I go on and on. I know these teachings are old-fashioned. They're out of date. They're not in sync with our society, but I'm glad I heard it when I was a boy, and some of it I heard it when I was a young man. Amen. And we heard it when we had a young family, and God allowed us to raise them in that way. Amen. I'll just plug one. It's not in my notes. I'm glad I heard it'd be best for me to get my television out. I'm glad I heard that, because that was the best thing. Amen. Number five, here's my last one. You can breathe a sigh of relief. I'm glad I heard the preacher say this is my last point. No, I'm kidding. I'm glad I heard the preaching that Jesus is coming again to rapture the saints before the tribulation period. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I heard the preaching that Jesus is coming to rapture the saints before the tribulation period. Amen. Jacob's trouble's on its way. It's almost like it's breathing down our neck. We can feel it. Seems like you can see all the signs and you can see everything is right here. But I'm glad before that happens, amen, before that man of sin is revealed, thank God the trumpet's going to sound, amen, and the children of God are pulling out of this old world, amen, going to a better place, amen. Amen. I can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Be a good day to go home. Be with the Lord. Amen. Look with me, if you will, 1 Thessalonians. And I'll close with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Verses 15 through 18. There's a lot of others, but I'll just read these. Verse 15. He said, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Amen. It is a comfort to know that we're going to see our dead loved ones again one day. Amen. It is a comfort to know that we're not going through the tribulation that this world's going to have to go through. Amen. It is a comfort to know that God, it knows right where we are. Amen. And right on time, Jesus will come and snatch us out of this wicked, wicked world. It's a comfort to know. Let's stand to our feet. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm a pilgrim in search of a celestial city. Amen. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming to bring judgment and destruction on this world, and our world's headed to judgment and destruction. Amen. A lot of things I thought about. I thought about that man named all in the news, Epstein. You remember that guy? Did a lot of evil. And supposedly, and I have to say it that way, supposedly killed himself. Well, if he killed himself thinking, at least I won't have to face the judge, he's wrong. If he killed himself thinking, at least I won't have to pay for the wickedness I've done, he was wrong. This world's headed to judgment and headed to destruction, but I'm glad there's a haven of rest for the child of God. Amen. There's a high tower you can run to find refuge and comfort. And that is the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, I am glad and I want to give thanks for the things I've heard. The preaching of the word of God. It's blessed me down through the years. Sometimes it's blistered me. Sometimes it's gone against my grain. Just first of all, tell me I'm not good enough. Tell me I've got to repent and believe the gospel. Tell me that I've got to be saved from my sin. But I'm glad the good news was that Jesus came to do all that. Lord, I want to thank you that I've heard these things. Lord, I pray bless now in the invitation time according to thy will. Work in somebody's heart. Bring them to Christ. Work in some home. Help people get their home straight and recognize their priorities ought to be to raise those children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, you get the glory. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as we sing. If the Lord spoke to you, you need to come. Would you obey the Lord?